agree on that. It's been a very... This is the signal for clapping, Liz. This is the standing ovation. But it has been a remarkable weekend, and I think that we've all been exposed to excellent insights into the steps and traditions. One by one, as they've been taken up by John and Willie on the steps and through the 12 and 12, and Richard has done an excellent job on the traditions. And we have re-glanced at or re-studied, or some of us the first time we ever thought about these things at depth. And it's we've come to the end of it now. As I started off by the other night talking about a little bit of the history of the Oxford or the Washingtonian movement and what had caused them to be destroyed, and then Richard began talking on the traditions with unity, which was the great talk the great tradition to try to get this off on the right foot. And we've discussed some of these traditions, unity, one part of the anonymity, primary purpose, some of the things that have emanated from the Washingtonian disaster, and some of the other traditions which have emanated from Bill Wilson's study of the conflicts within Alcoholics Anonymous in its first 10 years, 11 years before he began to write these things. And we get down to the 12th tradition, which is the end, which is not very, it really is not very complex. There are some people who like to take these things and make them complex and look at them. I always have a great deal of empathy for Dr. Bob in that last talk in Cleveland, where he said, keep it simple. This morning, Willie was talking, just a passing thought. Let me tell you this kind of interesting thing. We sometimes have a tendency to fall into a thing where we think the other people are really kind of magnificent and we're the only ones who are weak and fallible. And we are made up of fallible human beings, and we were founded by fallible human beings. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you an interesting little thought. In 1970, I was at the International Convention in Miami Beach. I was pleased to give a short little talk there at noon on July 4th, and very touching. But what I remember most about it was that was the last convention that Bill Wilson ever was at. And we all gathered in the Miami Beach Auditorium on Friday night for him to give his traditional Friday night talk. And they came out and said, well, we're very sorry. Bill's illness is such that he was dying from emphysema. He's dying from emphysema, and he will not be able to talk. And this big room, too bad. And on the way back to our hotel, I was walking with an old guy from Pittsburgh named John McHugh, and he's been sober forever. And I said, geez, too bad, we'll never hear. You heard Dr. Bob's last talk when he was dying of cancer. But I'll be missed. I'll miss Bill Wilson. I thought, and he said to me, he said, listen, kid, Bill Wilson is going to talk at this convention. I said, I don't think so. All the information I get says he's too sick. He said, just take my word for it. He'll talk. I said, you're goofy. I didn't say it. I just thought it at him. But I, Saturday night, we went over it, and we thought maybe he'd talk tonight. No, Bill Wilson, too sick. Sunday morning, this has got to be it. Closing meeting. So they announce, our speaker today is George, somebody from somewhere, not Bill Wilson. And, this guy started talking. All of a sudden, somebody got on the stage and whispered in the ear. And he stopped his talk. He said, I've got a wonderful message for you. Bill Wilson is here and is going to say a few words. So they wheeled Bill Wilson out. Oh, there was an electric moment. And he had tubes in his nose, oxygen, and all. Very sick man. And some of you have heard the tape of that talk. It didn't go very long, but he pulled himself up and he started off by talking with quite some dynamic, his old dynamic self, and all of a sudden he ran out of oxygen and slumped back in his wheelchair, and they took him out, and not very long after that he was dead. And on the way back to the hotel, I said, John, you must be some kind of a mystic. How did you know that Bill Wilson would talk at this convention? And he said, kid, you got to remember, we're all human beings. He said, do you think Bill Wilson would want it said that Dr. Bob talked while he was dying and Bill wouldn't? That's it. It's just a... And most of our traditions are to protect ourselves against our own human emotions. There's nothing wrong with human emotions, but we have a tendency... Now, the 11th tradition talks about anonymity and the public relations policy of AA. And I would say that step is pretty well designed to... was designed to protect our fellowship from getting into these terrible excesses of blurbing that the Washingtonian movement had, of trying to... and to get into a pressing of things we shouldn't get into. And the 12th tradition then says that we come to realize that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And it originally, that step, I think, was designed... I mean, that tradition was designed, as Bill Wilson wrote later, to help protect some of the people from their fear that they would be exposed as members of AA, because in the early days that was a tremendous fear. But over the years, that has evolved into not a protection of the fellowship from the individual, but a protection of the individual from the individual. Because there's no individual who's going to hurt Alcoholics Anonymous by breaking their anonymity. But many times they destroy themselves. I don't know how many times over the years I've watched people break their anonymity and then something, their lives change. I remember years ago, some of you remember old Lillian Roth, who wrote I'll Cry Tomorrow, and she wrote this book about how she was, and they asked her, her friends asked her in Los Angeles, to don't mention your name, that isn't very nice, and she said, I want to help AA. And so she part of her book, I'm an alcoholic. And 6 months later, she was face down, drunk on the streets of Palm Springs. And people said, won't this hurt Alcoholics Anonymous? No, nobody even cares. But it killed her. There's all example like this after example like this of people who... And I used to wonder, why would that bring that about? And in my opinion, there's no gospel on this. But in my observation, I think what happens is this. When I say I'm a member of AA, in an effort to help Alcoholics Anonymous, I've transferred the roles. I am now helping them. They are not helping me. I have lost whatever mystic thing there is here of being helped. I am now helping you. When I'm in trouble, I'm not going to come to you. I've already helped you. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. You reverse the roles, as it were. And somehow or other, when you become the helper to Alcoholics Anonymous, you have lost the most... I think the nicest thing I have in Alcoholics Anonymous is that in all these years, I've not ever really lost the mystic feeling that there's something mystic here I haven't quite got a hold of, but there's a little bit of magic here. Once it gets down to just nuts and bolts, it would be very sad. Before it came about for me, I was about a year and a half sober. And I had to go to the International, my sponsor made me go to the International Convention. It didn't take any money, it was in Long Beach, just a few. He said, get a ride and get down there. And I didn't want to go down there. All those successful people. No clue. But I went down there Friday night, and Friday night meeting was held at a football stadium outside because it was too big for the... And people were milling around. I'd say it wasn't very well organized in those days. And they've a bunch of goofs out there. And somebody came out of this room. He said, we need some ushers. Anybody want to volunteer to be an usher? And I thought, well, at least it'll get me in before I have to wait in line. So they brought a bunch of us in, and we all wore blue. They gave us a little blue armband that said usher. They said, now, take someone, see someone handicapped or old, help me with a seat. All right. So I snatched the first old lady I saw coming by, and I walked her down to the front row, put her in the front seat, took off my badge, and sat next to her. So I really had a wonderful view of the International Convention Center. Oh yeah, it really was just, but little by little, I tell you, that meeting was one of the most sensational, had to be one of the most sensational AA meetings in the world, because Bill Wilson spoke, and he introduced Ebby, who gave his only talk at an international convention, and Lois talked, and Sam Shoemaker talked, and on is like being at the Battle of Gettysburg and watching the Union and Confederate armies, you know. That really was something. And it started to really turn me around. And then after all of this had gone on, then Bill Wilson talked. He gave his story. And it was getting kind of late by this time. The other night somebody mentioned it got kind of cold there. It did get kind of cold, because it gets kind of cold down there in the summertime in the desert. And I noticed a lot of these wealthy women from New York and these fancy people were getting cold. And I thought, Jesus, you know, what's wrong with you people? And little by little, they're kind of slinking off into the darkness and leaving. And I wanted to just shout at them, you would even be sober if it weren't for that man. I'd become a convert pretty quick. And how dare you? And how dare you do that? And I didn't say, but I wanted to shout, talk all night, Bill. I'll be here. And it really was a golden moment, and it really gave me the first, from then on I always had a feeling of mysticism. But I'll tell you something else. Why we have steps and traditions. Why we have steps and traditions once we know it all. 5 years later, I was working in TV in Hollywood, and quite successful. My family had come back. I was doing quite well. I went to the Toronto Convention. International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous, Friday night meeting, big meeting, Bill Wilson giving his traditional talk, he introduced Lois, Ebby was no longer alive, and knew some of the others, then he told his story, and he talked for a while, and I found myself looking at my watch thinking, Jesus, Bill, how long am I going to go on? You know, supposed to meet some people for coffee, you know. I thought, nothing in AA changes, but we change here. Little by little, we change. And so the ongoing steps and traditions are required. I would say without doubt, everyone in this room at this moment knows enough intellectually, you've heard enough in the last 2 days, 3 days, to live comfortably for the rest of your life. You should never have to go to another AA meeting. You should never have to read another book. That's true based on information. But we all know information is not what does it. It's emotions. And our emotions change and our perceptions of reality change. There isn't a person in this room who can tell me how you're going to feel tomorrow morning when you get up. Whether you're going to feel up or down or cross or jolly or semi-tired or bubbling. And we have to live the new world with ongoing uncertainties. Willie talked about who knows when someone's going to cut you off the freeway and change your spiritual condition. You know, who knows when someone's going to look at you funny when you're tired. Who knows all sorts of things. And so as a result of that, we deal with spiritual matters. And spirituality means just that, I believe, of the spirit. Now, whatever stage of relationship you have with a power greater than yourself, you can accept the idea of spiritual at least as being non-material, of spiritual, of the abstract, where there's nothing you can see or touch really. And that's what much of Alcoholics Anonymous, nearly all of it is, I guess, when they say it's a spiritual program. It's something where we must follow procedures and techniques and methodology that are based within our own non-material self. This is the first major therapy in the history of the world that does what it does. Every other therapy has always said, you come to us, we will change your thinking, and eventually your actions will change. Alcoholics Anonymous says, you come to us, we will change your actions, and eventually your thinking will change. All the talk about changing your thinking is very nice, but it's just, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like these therapies today saying, well, we'll change your thinking now, we're going to work inside your head. That is very similar to something that happened to me near the end of my drinking. It is very similar to peeing your pants on a street corner. It serves no lasting purpose, but makes you feel warm while you do it. That's all. And then the next cold wind blows, and there you are. Oh, man. Just when I had it all together, too. That's why, with all the information you've received this weekend, it really, unless it's put to use little by little, unless you get a few thoughts. Because, years ago, when I was working in advertising and motivating salesmen and things like that, there used to be a 5-point procedure we had in training people to learn a product. And I would say it's the same thing in Alcoholics Anonymous today. It's quite simple. One, we say to the new person, or to the person here, as we said Friday night. First, shut up. We wouldn't say it quite that way. It would be nicer to them, but they weren't sensitive. Shut up. We don't want to hear how it looks to you because your way doesn't work. That's all. Shut up. Be quiet. Don't debate. Two, listen. You say, how can you help but listen? These voices go on day after day interminably. You and I both know. I've done it a little bit this weekend without intending to. I'm sure you have too. You can sit there and look right at the speaker. And if somebody said, what did he just say? Beats the hell out of me. I don't know. No human can stay focused that long. But at least try to listen to a few things that you can identify with or get a handle on. Try to leave meetings with at least something. Third, remember. If you say, of course I remember. No, you wouldn't. I bet you, like me, have walked out of countless meetings. So that was a good meeting. And then go about your business and not remember a single thing. Is anybody else seeing things out of the corner of their eye? Try to remember something. And the fourth step. When you have listened to something and remembered it and got a focus on it, practice it. Do it. Don't just know it, because that means nothing. Do it. Try it when nobody's looking if you want it, but make some action on it. Do it. So you got to, don't debate, listen, remember, and try to do it. And then comes the fifth and most important of the 5 steps. Teach it to somebody else. Because that's when you really learn a subject matter, is when you teach it to someone else. You must take abstract information and pour it through your own experience. And that's what, in a sense, we must continue to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. This anonymity, which is to protect ourselves against the narcissism which all alcoholics have, the intense sense of self, the big me, on and on, the sacrifice of spirituality. Sacrifice is the correct word, but it isn't really the correct word, because it isn't a sacrifice. We're not giving anything up. We're trying to maintain some degree of humility, but of course brings on another question. What the hell is humility? And to me, the best definition I've ever been able to think of humility is the art that comes maybe once a day or once every month, maybe, where for a brief period of time, just being yourself, not having to have a front, not having to convince somebody you're something, not having to tell people about your Harley, not discussing, but just to be yourself. And when you are yourself, you don't even know it. It's later that you think, geez, I was myself there for a minute, but there's no time for that now. So I think it means what it says, with some degree of humility, just being ourselves, to not have to impress, not have to convince. What a hard thing. And that's exactly what this step means. To enable ourselves to be ourselves and to not use Alcoholics Anonymous as a springboard for self-aggrandizement. That really is what it all means. To just do and work in this vineyard to keep that little shred of magic, mystic connection going for us. And we know this, but we'll have to do it again and remind ourselves again. And a year from now, some new guy will say, why do you have to do all this stuff? Why shouldn't we tell people we're in AA? It'll help AA. And you have to go through the same teaching procedure. Why do I have to take an inventory? Why do I have to do all these dumb things? Because they work. When all else fails, there's always that to fall back on. I know 5 better ways than AA. Problem is, none of them work. You know, I was going to get into the inner child, and unfortunately, I've been a disadvantage there. I'm still waiting for my inner adult to come out. Christ, I've not had a happy childhood, but it's been a long one. It's just on and on. But you, as I say, all I'm saying is this. We've all been informed a great deal this weekend. We all know, hopefully, a lot more than when we came in. But it is meaningless unless we put some of it to work somewhere. And we make use of it little by little next Thursday morning when nobody's looking. And a week from Wednesday and on. Because that's where life is. This is just a pit stop. Life is outside the Marymount campus. We just come in here for a little gas and oil, you know. Out there is where they're Jesus. And we continue to do these things. Probably one of the nicest phrases I know in all of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to close with it today. I want to thank the committee. Incidentally, I want to thank David for doing a bang-up job and having us here and having, because he had to go through a lot and he worked with this committee and they had faced a lot of problems and David persevered. He wrote me about 10 letters over a period of 2 months, and I tried to answer each one with a phone call. But the committee has been very friendly, and it's all been very nice, and everything's been good. I'm glad to see some guys here from Rhode Island. They're kidnapping me to take me to Rhode Island tonight to hold me for ransom. Good luck. But the nicest, one of the nicest phrases I've ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous is at the end of the long form of the 12 traditions. And it explains why we do these things. Why do we try to do these things? Why do we keep doing these things after things seem to be all right? When we know better? Why do we need to do these things after we already know it? And why do we have to maintain amity? Why do we have to maintain spiritual concepts of our lives? For a very simple reason. This to the end, that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. And you want to know why you're here, and why I'm here, and why we want to keep being here? so that we shall not do anything that will upset the wonderful gifts we've been given, and we will continue to remember to live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. Thank you. God bless you.